Be'eretz Yisrael kam ha'am ha'yehudi.
The date is May 14, 1948. The place, the museum in Tel Aviv. The occasion, the establishment of the independent state of Israel. The speaker, David Ben-Gurion. For the intent audience in Tel Aviv, for the people of Israel, and for Jews the world over, this was the culmination of their obstinate fight for survival, carried on over 19 centuries of bitter exile. The Jewish people remembered on this day its myriads of martyrs. Rome, Spain, Germany, Poland, Russia, and the Nazi terror. They remembered the struggle to rescue the Jewish survivors of the European Holocaust and bring them to Palestine. They remembered the bitter battle for statehood at the United Nations and the moving appearance of the veteran Zionist leader, Dr. Chaim Weizmann.
Our remnants in Europe, who have before their eyes 6 million slaughtered kinsmen, cannot stand the thought of another dispersion. They do not throw themselves on the mercy of the world. They are not suppliants. They are not beggars. They wish to be citizens of a Jewish society in which their capacities and ideals will be fully at home. All they wish for is an opportunity, and they will do the job themselves.
They remembered the historic vote at the United Nations on the 29th of November, 1947, when world approval was granted to the establishment of a sovereign Jewish state in Palestine.
Ukraine? Yes. South Africa? Yes. Soviet Union? Yes. United Kingdom? Abstain. United States? Yes. Uruguay?
They remembered, too, how despite that favorable vote, the struggle for implementation had to be continued by the United Nations delegation led by Moshe Sharet.
Is it legitimate for member states to use force against a settlement adopted by the General Assembly? The representatives of Arab states, in their statements before the Security Council, have tried to evade the issue by arguing that member states are under no obligation to comply with the resolution of the General Assembly. Not to comply is one thing. Openly and actively to defy is quite another.
The consciousness of a great historical occasion filled the hall in Tel Aviv on that Friday in May 1948, culminating in the moment when Mr. Ben-Gurion proclaimed the establishment of the State of Israel.
Al hakamat medina yehudit be'eretz Yisrael, hi medinat Yisrael.
Following this announcement, the venerable Rabbi Maimon rose to his feet and pronounced the traditional benediction, Blessed art thou, O Lord, who has kept us in life to reach this era. But the new state was not born solely out of declarations. It was born out of war. The surrounding Arab countries vowed to strangle the infant state in its cradle, and their armies poured over the border so carefully drawn by international experts on paper maps. The struggle was bitter, and for the first few weeks, dangerous. The ill-equipped defenders of Jerusalem were besieged on all sides. Grimly and dourly, they held on, backed by the hopes, prayers, and messages of many, such as Lorna Wingate, widow of the British general who had played an important part in training what was now the Israel Army.
The Jews still preserve the rights of men. So long as they continue to do so, they may suffer, but they will survive. Their symbol of survival stands upon the mountains of this land of achievement. It is the city of Jerusalem. To that citadel, we lift our eyes. We send its defenders our love and our blessing. Our trust is in them and in God.
Slowly, then not so slowly, the tide turned. The stranglehold grip on Jerusalem was broken. the Iraqis, Syrians, and Lebanese were thrown back into their own countries in the north. The Jordanians were held and disengaged themselves on the east. The Egyptians were flung back into the Sinai Desert on the south. A heavy price had been paid, but the chief of staff of the Israel Army, General Yaakov Dori, could issue an order of the day announcing victory. With the silencing of the guns, Israel could turn her attention to problems of democracy, to elections, to opening its parliament, to electing its first president, Dr. Weizmann. The climax of this period came on May the 11th, 1949, with another historic vote at Lake Success, this time admitting Israel as a full member of the Committee of Nations, announced by Dr. Evatt of Australia.
The voting is as follows. In favor of the resolution recommended by the ad hoc committee, 37, against, 12, abstentions, 9, every member of the United Nations being present and taking part in the vote. That satisfies the requirement of the charter of a two-thirds majority, and I therefore formally declare Israel admitted to membership in the United Nations.
And Moshe Sharet, now Israel's foreign minister, ascended the rostrum to express his country's faithfulness to the ideals of the United Nations Charter.
May it be recalled that on the most solemn day in the Jewish calendar, our people pray for the day when all the peoples of the earth shall unite in one fraternity to seek the salvation of mankind. And that it was the prophets of Israel who bequeathed to the world the vision of a time when nation shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Lo yissa goy el goy herev, velo yilmedu od milhama.
The first Hebrew words in the General Assembly. The establishment of the State of Israel was a signal for another great historical event, the fulfillment of the biblical prophecy of the ingathering of the exiles. From all corners of the globe they came, from the democracies of the Western world, from the displaced persons camps of Europe, from the detention camps of Cyprus, from the countries of Eastern Europe, from the Muslim lands of Africa and Asia. The entire Jewish population of the medieval state of Yemen was brought in a mass airlift known as Operation Magic Carpet. The hard-pressed Jewry of Iraq was rescued in Operation Ezra and Nehemiah. From north and south, from east and west, they came home.
You are the need in Romania.
I
came from the United States.
Türkiye'den geldim.
Je viens de France.
Jestem z Polski.
Hungaria.
Yugoslavia. Regards from England.
Germania.
Where is the sea?
From Africa. Austria.
Rita.
I came from Canada.
Belgique.
Malaya. New Zealand.
Holland. Anime Czechia.
Lubnan Baladi.
Je viens de Costa Rica.
The challenge of absorbing the newcomers has been enormous. In the course of a few short years, the population of the country was doubled, and many of those entering had to be patiently trained before they could make their contribution. Ambitious development projects were executed in the fight for economic stability and independence. The wastelands have become wheat fields. The vast Negev desert is being gradually settled and cultivated and has yielded rich mineral ores. Government and private investors, both inside the country and from other lands, have established industries. Fertilizers and chemicals, copper mines, potash plants, paper mills, tire factories, cement works. The Hula Swamp in Galilee has been drained in accordance with a plan originally propounded by the American soil expert, Professor Walter Clay Loudermill. The waters of the River Yarkon, north of Tel Aviv, were diverted to irrigate the parched Negev wilderness. And one of those blessing the completion of this project was Governor Averell Harriman.
I would like to suggest to you that we can perhaps dedicate ourselves to these great works that we may be worthy of the biblical blessing. And ye shall draw water in gladness from the wells of salvation.
And in 1955, the Minister of Development, Dr. Dov Yosef, came to the microphone with this dramatic announcement.
Today, we may congratulate ourselves on having found oil in the soil of our homeland under a pressure which raised it to ground level.
Some of the events of the past 10 years have been sad.
I'm sure that it is the desire of the Assembly to request the delegation of Israel to transmit to its government and to the family of the late president our expression of sympathy in their loss of a great humanitarian, scientist, and statesman. So I call upon the Assembly to rise and observe a minute of silent tribute to the memory of the President of Israel.
Dr. Weizmann was succeeded as President of Israel by the veteran labor leader and scholar Yitzhak Ben Tzvi, who took his oath in Parliament.
Ani Yitzhak Ben Tzvi mitchayev lishmor emunim lemedinat Yisrael ulchukeha ulmalei beemuna et tafkidi kinesi hamedina.
Relations with countries in Asia and Africa have also improved, none more so than with other young states, such as Ghana and Burma, whose premier you knew was enthusiastically received in Israel, and who before leaving said,
"Since my arrival here in your country, I have fallen in love with all of you. And you know very well how sad a man is when he has to part with the people whom he loves. So I'm leaving you with a very sad heart. But I'm happy to say that even though I go away now, I have a great desire to come back. Shalom."
In the worlds of culture and entertainment, there has been feverish activity inside Israel. Many works of important scholarship have been produced, especially on the famous Dead Sea Scrolls now housed in Jerusalem's Hebrew University. Here is the soldier archaeologist General Yigael Yadin announcing the opening and deciphering of the last of the original scrolls.
Those pages contain an Aramaic translation of chapters 12, 13, 14th, and 50th of the book of Genesis. And in addition to the translation proper, in it are interwoven stories told and said in the first person, in that case by Abraham himself, in the style similar to many apocryphal books like the Book of Enoch and the Book of Jubilee.
Israel's composers have poured forth a flood of music, serious and popular, much of it symbolizing Israel's own position as a juncture of East and West. The Israel Philharmonic Orchestra has achieved an international reputation. Books, plays, pictures. In every sphere of artistic endeavor, Israel has been a hive of productive activity. In the world of international sport, too, Israel has had its moments, notably in basketball and chess. And now listen to the excitement when Israel scored an equalizing goal against Russia in an Olympic soccer match.
And there we are, after 21 minutes, a header in by Stelmach leveled the score. A nice header which had the Russian goalkeeper Yaskin beat. The top left-hand corner, a move down on the left wing, and believe you me, the Israeli team deserved this goal. You can see the handkerchiefs and the hands and the clapping. 1-1 after 21 minutes in the second half of this game at Ramat Gan.
But behind the record of progress lurked ever-present danger. The country has been beset with burning problems, economic, sociological, political, and military. Despite Israel's yearning for a lasting peace, it has been compelled by the continuing intransigence of its neighbors to devote growing time, energy, and money to building up its defenses. Israel's borders have been the scene, time and time again, of attacks, murders, maraudings. Jordan sent in its infiltrators. Syrian soldiers shot across at Israel farmers. And Egypt sent in its Fedayeen murder squads. In addition, Egypt tried to throttle Israel's international trade by closing the Suez Canal to her ships and blockading the Gulf of Aqaba, leading to Israel's southern port, Eilat. Israel repeatedly appealed to the United Nations. Listen to Ambassador Abba Iban addressing the Security Council in 1954.
Mr. President, the government of Israel now returns to the Security Council and to seek the immediate cessation by Egypt of hostile practices which violate the principles of international law, the purposes of the United Nations Charter, the specific provisions of the Egyptian-Israel Armistice Agreement, and the decision of the Security Council adopted in this very case on September the 1st, 1951. The conflict on this subject of free navigation at Suez is between Egypt on the one hand and the opinion of mankind on the other. The issue is drawn between progress towards peace and the frank exercise of alleged rights of war. The debates and decisions of the Security Council in these coming days cannot therefore fail to lead us in one direction or another. Will Egypt accept the international verdict in favor of non-belligerence and the absence of hostile acts? Or must Israel and other countries adapt themselves to the Egyptian theory of an active state of war and draw all the conclusions which a policy of war imposes upon a government against which it is directed?
Israel eventually had to draw these conclusions. In 1955, Nasser signed his notorious arms agreement with the Soviet bloc, and the following year he nationalized the Suez Canal. Security. To achieve this aim, Israel forces moved swiftly and surely. Its infantry in 6 days occupied the Sinai Peninsula and the Gaza Strip, which was handed over by its Egyptian general. The Soviet-equipped Egyptian army fled in disorder, and Israel's chief of staff, General Moshe Dayan, was able to summarize the campaign.
I thought that it would last 7 days altogether, which it did. We were in the northern part, we were ahead of the plan in 1 day, and down there we were just according to the time, to the maximum timetable. It took about 7 days.
Israel asked for guarantees before withdrawing, and President Eisenhower told the American people.
Serious efforts have been made to bring about conditions designed to assure that if Israel will withdraw in response to the repeated requests of the United Nations, there will then be achieved a greater security and tranquility for that nation. This means that the United Nations would assert a determination to see that in the Middle East there will be a greater degree of justice and compliance with international law than was the case prior to the events of last October and November.
When these guarantees had been obtained, Mrs. Meir appeared at the United Nations.
The 666th plenary meeting of the General Assembly is called to order. I call on the Honorable Representative of Israel.
Mr. President, the government of Israel is now in a position to announce its plans for full and prompt withdrawal from the Sharm el-Sheikh area and the Gaza Strip.
and the specially constituted United Nations Emergency Force took up its positions along the formerly troubled border of the Gaza Strip and at Sharm el-Sheikh, the point in South Sinai dominating the entrance to the Gulf of Aqaba.
My name is Major Colin Forrest of the Black Watch Royal Highland Regiment of Canada. The Finnish Rifle Company of the UNEF have occupied Sharm el-Sheikh. They will be establishing patrols and observation posts over the Straits of Tehran.
Israel had achieved her objectives. The immediate Egyptian threat had been removed, and the sea lanes to Eilat were open to international shipping.
We had a very uneventful trip the entire voyage. We started discharging fuel oil at 11:25 this morning, and we expect to start discharging crude oil at approximately 4 o'clock this afternoon.
This year, Israel is celebrating another birthday, 10 years old and with a history of tens of centuries. 2 million inhabitants, 200,000 of them Arabs, building a new, free, democratic life. In their rejoicings, the Israelis are being joined inside the country by tens of thousands of visiting friends, while in other countries, the Jews of the world, who have stood behind Israel in all its troubles, and men of goodwill, wherever they may be, are joining the celebrations in spirit. And the Israel people is uttering its thankfulness that it has been privileged to be, in the words of its national anthem, a free people, once again in its own land, the land of Zion.